gives us a good idea of how to do things wrong. How do we do things right? Because, you know, as I mentioned, we don't want to go to either extreme. We don't want to be so hands-on that our children don't learn how to function when we're not around. But at the same time, we don't want to be so hands-off that we absolutely offer no guidance and they still can't figure it out. Either extreme is the wrong way to go. Too much hands-on, they don't learn how to really figure it out for themselves. Giving no guidance, they still don't really learn how to figure things out for themselves. So what do you do? One of the things that Amy recommends is that we examine how we see our parenting role. And think about a number of things. I mean, you all have heard me talk about the whole issue of, you know, how some parents see their role and some see their role as basically, you know, a dictator. And maybe not a tyrant, but as a dictator. You know, not necessarily trying to dog their children every chance they get, trying to make them miserable in life. No, not a tyrant, but a dictator in the sense that, you know, they're just going to tell them what to do, tell them what to do, tell them what to do, but not necessarily try to have fun with them. Because, I understand this, a lot of parents really want to make it clear to their children that the parents are not their children's friends. How do you see your role? Is it a multifaceted role? Is your role as parent a multifaceted role? Or do you see it as a one-dimensional role? Now, you may want to consider the friendship thing, not the buddy thing. Some of you heard the conversation that I had with Sierra several years ago when we were talking about that. And she said, no, I don't want my mother to be my buddy. But I do want my mother to be my friend. And you've heard me talk about how God, who is the highest ranking person in all the world, got a kick out of the fact that Moses was one of his friends, that Abraham was one of his friends. The Lord Jesus said to his closest followers, I'm no longer calling you all servants. I'm calling you friends now. And it was a decision he made based on their relationship. And so if the Son of God, who came from heaven, can determine that he is willing to be in a friendship with the people who are learning from him, why can't parents be friends in a friendship with the children who are learning from them? Amy says, as we evaluate our roles, there are several things we can consider. For example, if you see your role as more of a protector, your goal will be to help your child survive. If you see your role as more of a guide, your goal will be to help your child thrive. Parents who see themselves as protectors tend to try to prevent their kids from making mistakes. They don't want anything bad to happen to them. We can understand that, but stay with us now. Parents who view themselves as guides know that mistakes help children learn. And they're willing to let their children make their own way through the world, and they don't try to define success for them. No matter how you see your role, though, there are likely times when you have prevented your child from making mistakes, either because you wanted to spare yourself pain or you wanted to spare your child. Spend some time thinking about the types of mistakes that could have been learning opportunities. So, for example, check out some of these scenarios. You have a 6-year-old who steps out of her bedroom wearing an outfit that doesn't match. It's bright enough and bold enough that it will definitely attract some attention. Well, do you let her wear it to school? Or do you help her find something else to wear? Right, here's another scenario. Yes, the bright and the bold. All right. And y'all know sometimes we parents have some problems with some of the stuff our children be wanting to wear. All right, what about this one? Your 10-year-old proudly shows you his science fair project. It's supposed to be a volcano, but it looks like a large blob. Excuse me, I just sneezed and I didn't want to sneeze in your ear, so I turned that down. Okay, so here we go. His wonderful science fair project looks like a blob, and it doesn't actually erupt the way volcanoes are supposed to. Do you let him use that project, or do you help him build a better volcano? Here's another one. I hear some of you now. I don't know how to build a volcano either. Some of you just saying, well, I guess I'd figure it out, but where would I get the time? I hear you. Here's our third scenario. Your 15-year-old introduces her new friend to you. You've heard about this girl from other parents, and she's known for being disrespectful to parents and teachers. Do you tell your teen she cannot see this new friend outside of school, or do you let them hang out? Now, you know your child best, so there's not always one clear answer, right answer, for how to respond. But it is essential to be aware of the reasons behind your choices and to ask yourself, is this best for my child in the long term? Yeah, don't try to figure out what's going to make you feel best in the short run. What's going to be best for your child in the long run? Now, why are you considering that? Because part of the issue is that you want to make sure that as much as possible, you're helping your child learn from any mistakes that do occur. And sometimes we do learn good lessons from mistakes. Of course, we got to know which mistakes are the mistakes that really should not be made, because the lesson learned can be so catastrophic, not just somewhat painful, but possibly catastrophic, that those are some of the ones we might want to, well, let's check these out. Some of the mistakes that we might want to help our children avoid, mistakes that pose a safety risk. How many of you were thinking about the hot stove lesson as I was talking about mistakes to help our children avoid, the ones we want to prevent? Yeah, if a safety risk is involved, we do want to prevent that. If your toddler's getting too close to the edge of the pool, don't let him learn his lesson the hard way. Intervene before he falls/fails. Similarly, don't turn a blind eye when your teenager is smoking or drinking or speeding in hopes that he'll learn his lesson. He could die from his mistakes before he ever learns. Or someone else could die from his mistakes before he learns. If safety is an issue, you might want to prevent that mistake. All right. I mentioned the fact that someone else could die. The mistakes that are harmful to other people is another one that you want to try to avoid. If your child says he's going to announce to certain kids that they didn't get invited to his birthday party, he's going to announce to them that they did not get invited to his birthday party. Don't let him do it. Similarly, if you see or hear that your teen is posting provocative or offensive comments on Facebook, you need to step in. Here's another one. Mistakes that just plain won't teach your child a lesson. If your child doesn't experience any negative consequences, he likely won't view his behavior as a mistake. But just because something turned out well doesn't necessarily mean it's a good idea. If he jumped off a bridge and didn't get hurt, he may think he should do it again. Well, what do you say? You may want to explain that just because it turned out okay doesn't mean it was a good idea. In fact, take that driving situation into consideration again. Child comes home laughing and bragging about how he was just tearing down the street. I mean tearing down the street. I don't mean the interstate either. On the highway, 20 miles over the speed limit. Talks about how he had a close call. When someone pulled in front of him, he didn't see him coming. He was able to maneuver and just barely avoided an accident and kept on trucking. And he's just laughing, or she's just laughing, whichever. What do you do? Just laugh with him, or don't laugh, but don't say anything about it to correct him either, since he came out of it unscathed and no one else got hurt either? Nah. No. Again, things worked out, but that still wasn't a good idea. That speeding, that fast, reckless driving still was not a good idea. Correct them. All right, we're going to be talking some more about what we can do to become even better parents than we already are in the future. In the meantime, I want you to think about what you've not only done, you know, that you could have done differently. I know that a lot of you have done that already as I was talking today. What I'd like for you to do, spend some time thinking about what you have done well. I mean, really well as a parent. Think about some of the ideas and thoughts and concepts and ways of parenting that you've already been thinking about that turn out to have been some really good ideas. And rejoice in those and lock them into your memory bank so that you can be that kind of parent more and more and more, whether you're a parent now or will be a parent at some point in the future. I do want you to remember Tuesday, December 26th, join me when I'll be speaking with Dr. Tim Jennings. He'll be talking about love, sex, bonding, breaking the marriage bond through pornography, and recovering from pornography. That's going to be our discussion. Tuesday, December 26th at 1 o'clock. If for whatever reason you're not able to join us then on 1550 AM, remember you can go to speakingwith.com and click on listen online at your convenience. Find the name Dr. Timothy Jennings or look for the date and listen in.